such a privilege to be up here. It really is. It touches my heart that there's so many people I know in the room, people I know from service, people I know from, you know, my long, long journey in this fellowship. And let's get the big thing out of the way. I was 16 years last week. I couldn't get through morning telly. You know, I couldn't wait for the kettle to boil when I was throwing pills down my throat. You know, I didn't even put the kettle on first. You know, I didn't care. I didn't even get water. I just threw them down my throat like I was eating peanuts. And this is not my first recovery. But this is the one that things changed. And you know, thank you so much, Craig, for what you said, because an awful lot of it is about change. And when I was listening to the readings, the thing that really stood out for me, because I really think that I always listen to the readings, and I make sponsees listen to the readings, because they're the answers to our frequently asked questions. It was the thing about, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, what does sought mean? It's a verb, you know, and it means we looked for. Where I went wrong was that I didn't look for help. You know, I wanted to come in here because something crazy had happened to me on Earls Court Road, or, you know, yet again I was fucked up. Sorry, I'm really trying to answer. I had to really rethink the whole thing this time around. And I used to hear people saying, you know, they didn't know how to ask for help. I knew more about the rings of Saturn than I did about what help might be. You know, my thing was, get into shape, get out of it on your own. Yeah, don't tell anyone you messed up. You know, I had no idea about things like that. You know, I didn't come in, you know, on the numerous occasions with any, you know, kind of hope and joy. You know, and I just thought, oh God. And I remember I used to go to the meetings downstairs, and this followed me through for a long time. I first came to NA in 1987, and you know, which now sounds like 1740 or something, you know, and I stayed clean for a time, and then because I relapsed, I was out for 8 years, in and out, it was just a mess, and I thought I was in some sort of second rate, I wasn't in the top tier of any, you know, the ones who came in 1740, and are still clean, you know, from day one. I thought, you know, no, you messed it up, you mess everything up, you know, it's just who you are, you know. And Tep got this far, but you know, I didn't, this was not my idea, you know. And I remember coming back, which would be 16, you know, years ago, last week, and I went to a meeting, and I thought, I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, by now I was 45, and I thought, I don't know if I can do this. I just don't know. That was the best idea I had, was I didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah, there was somebody doing a 25-year chair. I thought, all I want to do is get through the day. It was the first time I started thinking about it like that. So that meant, don't go home via the dealer. Don't go home via the off-license. You know, don't. And that's all I wanted, was that day. And I knew I was facing, you know, a home clock. Anybody? Come on, hands up for all the home clocks we've done. And yeah, and you know, I just thought, I'll just do the day. Then I got to 30 days, and then it all goes wrong. This is where it all went wrong the other time. You know, there's a huge difference between desperation and willingness. Now, I would come in because something desperate had happened to me yet again, and or you know, I just couldn't hack it for another morning, and you know. Somewhere, you know, it's a grain of sand. You know, honesty, open-mindedness and willingness, it's a grain of sand at a time. You know, it didn't certainly become the size of a planet. You know, but that tiny movement is what changed. Yeah. And God, I was so horrible to sponsors. I used to pick people who I think, oh, he doesn't like me, I'll ask him. You know, this is also the story of my relationships, by the way. because there's something kind of familiar in it. Yeah, there's a kind of a contempt that I like. And but it was about, you know, I remember one of them said that I was needy, seedy, and greedy. And I'm not fucking Snow White. What are you on about? And you know, and finally, you know, I found the right one. And, you know, my history of drugs goes way back. And I couldn't wait to be a drug addict. I knew there was something in it for me. And I doubt I'd have got through, late puberty without them. But of course, then it all goes wrong. And, you know, at 16, I already had the criminal record. I had a psychiatric record. I had a habit. And I couldn't do anything about it. And now when I think about step one, you know, I used to think that unmanageability was the consequences of my powerlessness. My unmanageability was that I wouldn't do anything about it. You know, I knew when I was like, you know, doing checkbook fraud that, you know, at some point I was going to get caught. You know, at some point the banks, this was going to go wrong. But I said, yeah, I'll deal with that tomorrow. You know, I'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll just do another run. It was the same, you know, the only time I used to ever think about coming off drugs was when I was stoned. You know, think, okay, well, you know, we'll have a, you know, let's party on, you know, Bill and Ted tonight, and then tomorrow I won't do that. No, that didn't happen, you know. And the morning I cleaned up was, in fact, no like any other morning. You know, I hadn't made it to the bed because I used to take an awful lot of ketamine. You know, scary amount. And I used to wake up on the floor because I would pass out because I was afraid to move. You know, I'd be in some sort of paralysis or something. I thought being in paralysis was being stoned. You know, this is fun. But one morning, I just thought, and it wasn't there'd been a whole string of mornings running up to it where I thought, today I'll do something about it. But actually that was the day I did something about it. I didn't know that was going to be the break day. None of that. And it's funny, I had to do isolation, until the vaccines came. And there was about 3 weeks in to the first one. You know, I wasn't thinking about drugs. I thought, you know, that I don't think about drugs anymore. And I was gazing out it was summer, you know, it was spring evening, and I'm looking out into the garden thinking, I could really do with a hit of acid now. Acid, of all things, acid was the one that, you know, never went well, you know, ever. Yeah, that was psyche at the time, you know, on the way home. And so, you know, it's the seeking for help, you know, which is so hard for us. You know, you were talking about, you know, I didn't get it in my childhood. I didn't get it when, you know, I went to work. I didn't get it. I didn't get so much stuff, but I had no idea that if I didn't know something, ask somebody else. You know, I didn't know stuff like that. You know, there was so much stuff I just did not know. And so to be able to sit here tonight is a huge privilege. You know, I'm going to be 62 soon. And the fact that I even am alive, but the fact that, you know, this morning I did not wake up, you know, lying on the floor shivering and thinking, maybe it's time to just move on to scripts again. You know, maybe it's time to recycle, you know, what the 70s stuff thing. And, you know, the 80s thing, the 90s thing. And, but it's that thing about the grain of sand. And, you know, I found somebody and we went through all the steps. And, you know, okay, so step one, we get. Step two, my greatest insanity was I believed there was something wrong with me. And I believed that long before the drugs. I believed that before I was in, you know, long trousers. And I thought there was something really wrong with me. And one of the great, great things about, you know, you mentioned on it, when I came to step 10, I found out I was wrong about what I thought was wrong with me. Yeah. Wow. You know, where did I get those? You know, it was part of four. You know, I did a moral inventory of myself. You know, not my family, you know, wherever they live, you know. And it was nothing to do with that. It was, you know, what am I all right with? What am I keeping? What's actually mine? do I actually believe I'm worthless? No, but somebody told me I was, and I believed then. And this is a huge shift. Now I think, hang on, you know, those people weren't exactly, you know, qualified, you know, to pass judgment. It wasn't like I'd got, a letter from the UN saying you're a piece of crap. And I got ready to put that down. I got ready, bit by bit by bit, to put that down. That I now believe there's very little wrong with me. Yeah. Now, imagine that I could feel like that on a day. My work, I'm very busy, but sometimes, I can be a nightmare. But, I think I'm being a nightmare, but I'm being a nightmare in here, and in fact, I have much better with the behaviour. And I do my inventory at night, and I think, for about now 12 years, I light a candle every night of gratitude for the things that went right in the day, because I'm bored of the neurosis of thinking, where did I mess up? Yeah, I'm bored of it, I don't know how to judge that anyway. Yeah, okay, we all mess up. And it's about this huge, slow journey back to being a human being, and back to being a valuable human being, back to being a human being who values themselves. It's taken so long. I didn't get this stuff till I was well into my 50s. The thing about the fear that you mentioned, a 10-year train, I thought, I've got to do something about this fear thing. If I put my hand in the pocket, I think my keys are, and they're not, I instantly have a panic attack. Checking disorders, the whole, I thought, I can't live like this anymore. And that's when I went into, trust. Now I've got to really walk the walk with trust. That, the world is not out to get me. It's not a war out there that I'm going to lose, sooner or later. And it was all those tiny, tiny movements. People have talked about service. Thank you everybody else for their service. I learned more from my service than anything else. Because the person, there was an amazing woman called Mary, who I believe a lot of you knew. And Mary, I was talking with you about this, and Mary said to me, you're just there to do the job. Do the job well. Don't worry if they like you or not. They'll respect you anyway, because they don't want to do it. I love a good ratty, argumentative subcommittee. And God knows that, there's people in the room I've done them with. Then I started, I was allotted area, I was a chair of an area, I was a treasurer of an area, all that. And being the treasurer, I remember the night that I took home £1,500 and I knew I wasn't going to rob a penny. I would rob you just to piss you off. I didn't rob with any degree of subtlety. I wanted you to know I robbed you. I remember the night, and that had happened over such a vast amount of time, and the trust that was put into me that I wouldn't make up for the pot. So these things have happened to me. I'm not here to do my story. We'll be into the next century at least, and I'm bored of it. I'm just bored of it. There was a long time when I used to just talk about my story. How many psych units, how many this, how many that. And I did that because I didn't really have anything else to talk about. That's really all I knew about. But now I wanted to, it's what I get out of doing a step four. I figured out what was mine and what wasn't. I hate the phrase addict thinking. Will I always have addict thinking? Probably. But I don't act out on it. Somebody comes up, within 3 inches of me, I love a rock. I'm small. I love fighting big blokes. I just love the kind of the improbability of it. I can still have the thought, but it doesn't mean I have to act out. It's been the spiritual journey. Yeah, and the spiritual journey is living with spirit. That's what it's about. You know, it's, and it, that, you know, the person one day clean will help the person who's just walked through the door. That's spirit. But, you know, just sitting in this room is spirit. You know, I do love a good church, you know, I'm Irish Catholic. The ones in Mexico are great. But, you know, that's not actually going to get me anywhere. Yeah, it might calm me down to light a few candles, but, you know, it's what do I do? How do I express my spirit, not repress it? How do I not damage it anymore? How do I not tear myself apart anymore? And, you know, okay, I mess up. Yeah, big deal. Big deal. You know, I can do that now and not, you know, it's the thing in step 10, you know, you make a model or something, you know, and you promptly admit it and then let it go. It's not go home and just torture myself about it, you know. There were days when I, you know, there are still days when I eat the most stupid things, like 2 bars of dark chocolate for the day. And, you know, it's only 2 bars of dark chocolate. It doesn't mean I'm morally deficient. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean I'm ill my illness. No, it's just 2 bars of dark chocolate. Yeah, fine. And so this is what recovery is giving me. And after I finished at area, there was something of a crisis going on at H&I, and I went and got involved, and I became the chair of H&I for North East and North West. And then I started doing prisons, going to prisons. Now, do you know something? If I can walk through a prison yard looking like I do, so can you. And so I don't want to hear any shtick about why you can't do H&I. Yeah, and the first thing that I was asked, you know, was, because I was very much about making it their meeting, you know, I've got plenty of meetings I can go to, you know, I've got plenty of support. But is how, they would ask my clean, how long have you been off drugs? And I would tell them, and I went, how did you do that? And I thought, if I can teach you nothing else today, it's I didn't take the first one. Yeah, don't take the first one. You're out of the game then. You know, I can sit at home as mad as a bat, you know, watching Netflix until I think I've exhausted it. But that's fine. I can eat all the chocolate I like. That's fine. But what I can't do is take the first drug, because then I'm out of the game. And then I cannot predict what's going to happen next. Yeah, and it's not going to go well. You know, experience has taught me this is not work out for me. And so I still seek help. Yeah, I try to be part of that chain. You know, I've got sponsees. I don't care if they take 200 years to do a step four, provided I can see a grain of sand happening. Yeah, that's fine. And, you know, people were so, so patient with me. And people were so kind to me. You know, and I couldn't even see that. You know, I just think, oh, they don't like you. You know, I don't like them. Yeah, let's balance the account. And you know, I remember going to the Overays with you, Roz, and I remember you came to Hank's memorial. And my sponsor died. And the one who really changed my life. And, you know, he died very slowly, and he wanted only 2 people going to the hospital with him. One was his wife, and then he and me. And he was such a stand-up guy. And, you know, there were mornings when, you know, I knew what was going to happen, and the hospital was going to be awful. But, you know, I can feel that, and I can feel that terror of it, but I can show up anyway. You know, I can still get up and go on the tube. Sometimes it's like having Gollum in my head. You know, I get up, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work or something. And, you know, the voice in my head says, ring in sick. Yeah. Yeah. Then, because that doesn't get much response, it goes, ring in and tell them you're never coming again. Yeah. And I think, yeah, you know, you're not driving today. You can stay in the back this morning, yeah, because, you know, I'm going anyway. And, but it's, you know, this is an amazing program, you know, and it was the amazing people, you know, the stand-up people make the rest of us stand-up people, and we make the other stand-up people. And this is life-affirming. This is joy. Yeah. I didn't think I, you know, I remember somebody said, you know, they would say, oh, you know, what would you like to be? And I thought, oh, God, you know, asleep. And, and people were saying happy. And I thought, oh, yeah, I was happy once, but, you know, wasn't all that. And but to be able to be happy in me, yeah, to be able to see that things are not, that life is not a war, that life is, you know, that I had to do my work and I have to keep an eye on things and don't take acid in a lockdown and all that. And, but, you know, the NHS were so kind to me. You know, my mate's son brought with my groceries. People, you know, really rocked up for me. And I was able to let them do it. You know, when people used to ask me, oh, are you coming for coffee after a meeting? I could, oh, no, I'm very busy. That meant, you know, I'm just going home. And because, you know, I was so nervous, you know, and you know, it was just self-obsessed rubbish. Yeah. And it was only just my opinion of events, you know, but that could affect my, and you know, I can still feel like that, but it doesn't have to affect my behavior. And so, you know, Hank died and, you know, I was very upset, very, very upset. And, you know, it was the first time I truly let the fellowship hold me. Yeah, I leaned in. I'd finally been, I was at a point where I could do it. I could lean in. And I wept in meetings and people had to, you know, I wept at the ASC. And, you know, fine, I can do that now. Yeah, and not go home and think, you made an idiot of yourself there. And I can let other people cry. You know, I say, oh, please don't cry. Please. Do you remember those people used to cry at parties? And I say, oh, no, I'm not a weeper, please. I'd rather the biters. Then the biters were more entertaining. But, you know, and to say yes is the other thing I've learned, to really say yes. You know, my career changed completely. You know, Ros knows about this and some other people. Because I said yes to people. People asked me to do things that was completely, you know, I didn't have wildest dreams, by the way. I thought dreams are dangerous. Yeah, you're just setting yourself up to upset yourself. Don't have dreams, just make money. And that changed because I was able to say yes. People said, do you want to go abroad and do this job? Yes. People said, you know, do you want to do this job that they're not gonna pay you on? I mean, yeah, you never know who you meet. And it's a whole spiritual shift. And this is where, you know, I've heard it said before, and I didn't really get it for a long time, that it had to be practical. You know, I can spend the rest of my life, you know, like a good Irish Catholic, with, you know, a big piece of lace on top of my head, you know, or something. And, but, you know, that's fine. I'm not knocking it. They love it. But, you know, I have to be able to live with spirit. And the only way I can live with spirit is with gratitude and trust. Yeah? I'll never live with spirit if I just tell myself I'm a piece of crap who's just lucky to have lived this long. Yeah? That couldn't be the mesh. That couldn't be what this program is about. It couldn't. I couldn't believe that I went through everything I went through just to still hate myself. Yeah? And to just be barely able to manage it. And it can't be about that. It has to be about the new ground, finding that new ground, a grain of sand at a time, you know, slipping backwards, thinking, no, keep going. Not going upstairs because the neighbour's pissing me off. I'm sure I pissed the neighbour off plenty when I had a crack house running in the living room. But it's about going to something else. I'm bored of myself, obsessed. You know, I have no training as an analyst, thank God. I would, you know, but I think I have. You know, I also thought I was a doctor for several years. And, well, when telling other people, you know, how to take drugs. And, but it's about going to joy. It's about going to love, you know. It's about going to being able to live with yourself. It's about committing to that. Committing to something new. It's not about how much clean time I have. It's can I live with me on, you know, like you said, Can I live with my best friend? Or can I live with, you know, something from, you know, the eighth circle of hell? And but, you know, maybe it came with age. Maybe, I don't know what it came with, but I'm so glad that I can now go to a different ground. You know, that I can see it, you know. And, you know, what we do is incredible. You know, wow. You know, I've seen people in meetings that I met in meetings. I've seen, you know, people from prisons at meetings, and they went, you know, I thought, wow, he's still coming here to the meetings. You know, I see people coming in with terrible things that are happening to them, clean and using. And I see change, and I see positivity, and I see the higher ground, the other ground that I could never see before, because I can see it. You know, it was like when I go to the meeting downstairs and thinking, you know, I'm just kind of on the, at least the D list of NA because I've relapsed so many times, you know. What was I thinking? Why did I carry that? What possible use was it to me? And how am I doing for time?
12 minutes.
Okay, cool. And it's funny, when I start taking a chair, I either want to stop after 30 seconds or talk until you all die, because then I don't want to have the tough talk to you after the meeting. And, you know, I am neurotic, there's no two ways about it. But, you know, I'll just keep going. And, you know, and to see the change in other people, to finally be able to see the change in myself, I think is what I'm trying to say here without feeling cringe. To know that things have changed. My family are exactly the same people they were. You know, my brother died of this disease in 2017. Now, I hadn't seen my family for 11 years, and I went to Ireland. I was able to go to Ireland for the funeral and not get involved in the, you know, looking for a target thing that my family loved doing. I just thought, I'm just here to do a job. I'm just here to get onto that coffin, go to all these church services, etc., etc., and then I go back to London. I had a younger brother. I still have another younger brother, but it used to pain me so much that I was always the one who phoned him and he didn't phone me, and then I'd resent him. Guess what I had to do? Stop phoning him. Yeah, just stand back from the mic. Yeah, just stand back from the flame of that. I had to just live with who they, yeah, you know. I still don't have a massive relationship with them. You know, it was never going to be. You know, I remember being at a meeting where people were talking about my parents and my family did the best they could. I thought, you know something, mine didn't. Mainly because it was never on the agenda. Yeah, we didn't know what that would be. You know, it was, and I, you know, after that I was able to come to terms with what it was all about. I didn't do my best. Nobody knew how to do their best. It wasn't what we could do with each other. It's still not what they can do with each other. And, you know, I know what you went through, Ros, with your family, and what other people have gone through with theirs. But, you know, if I just accept it the way it is and just stand well back from the flame, it'll be okay. And, you know, there'll be the Christmas Day phone call. You know, there'll be fine. I can pay for a Christmas Day phone call, you know, well paid for what I do. And so, it's about, you know, I never really believed it was going to be all right. But what NA taught me is how to make it all right now. Yeah, it mightn't be all right. I don't know, that's a fantasy. You know, Hank always knew he was going to die. That wasn't going to be all right on any farm, you know. But how do I make it all right now? Okay, I mess up on the world. You know, I'm psychopathic on the, you know, on the tube. Because somebody is, you know, doing something to piss me off. How do I make this all right? You know, thinking. And then I have a way of retreating from that by saying, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if I feel like this. Yeah, don't stop trying to feel. You know, there was a period in the late 90s when I took drugs to feel something because I was so burnt out from what had happened to me in the 90s. But I remember one day being really, you know, kind of, really crazy with my, well, I didn't know I was really crazy. My friend pointed it out. And he went, you know, you're really crazy today. And I just had the backpack, you know, which, you know, was like some horror show. And I'm, oh, hang on, I'll be okay in 20 minutes. And I just changed the way I felt. Now that you were talking about that, okay. Yeah, about that I operated on artificial feelings when I was using. You know, the despair was usually coming down or something, or it was all, I didn't know my will, like I didn't know what a feeling was. I knew nothing about it. You know, dodge the bullet if you can. And I'm not afraid of them. You know, they're just feelings. You know, they're neither good or bad. You know, there was a period in the second lockdown, the grim winter one we did, where I realized fear was keeping me alive. That, you know, it meant I wasn't out doing really reckless things. You know, I had to be really careful. You know, I've got bad chest problems. And I thought, there's nothing wrong with fear. There's nothing wrong with judgment. It's how it manifests in my behavior. You know, I love that phrase. Well, the one about external validation. Please, where did we find that nugget of self-hatred? And I love external validation. I love any kind of validation. I want it on a global level. You know, fine, I'm all right with that. It just doesn't mean that I'm turning into a nightmare about it. You know, it says there, give yourself a break. And you know, that'll happen, a grain of sand at the time. That's how it happened for all. I've seen people in this room, you know, I've seen their struggles, they've seen mine. And, you know, bit by bit by bit, something changes. But you know, here's the golden rule, don't take the first drop. I've been clean for 8 years. I was in a hospital, after, you know, having some, you know, my health fell apart because of something I don't want to talk about particularly. And I came to from an operation and they said, what do you want? And that's when I had the bad idea. I thought, morphine. And I thought, morphine's amps are fine, you know, they're not street heroin. You know. Of course, guess what happens? 20 minutes later, I'm ringing the bell. And, you know, that's where you're out of the game. It really, I know it sounds really simple, and it is. The thing about the program, the program is very, it sounds simple, but it is simple, but it's not easy sometimes. You know, sometimes the thing to push is to keep pushing. You know, just calm the fuck down. Sorry, I'm swearing again. And, but, you know, I don't know if I'll even do that in 5 minutes. You know, I think I've babbled on really long enough. But I wanted to talk tonight about what recovery gave me up to the day. I didn't want to talk about, you know, the 94 types of an awful person I might be, I think I am. Yeah, you know, who cares? I don't care anymore. Yeah, I wanted to talk about what doing a step 4 gave me, what doing a step 10 gave me, what doing a step 12 gave me. And what doing service gave me. And, you know, there's an awful lot here. And God, you will meet the most insane people if you're not wrong. There's never been a sci-fi horror movie with a cast like this. But it's the fact that only we can help each other. Mm. Only the most wrecked, broken people were able to help each other. You know, I've been, you know, a lot of places, psych units with my particular, you know, holiday, you know, choice. That was a 5-star holiday. And, you know, to be here and to see the people help each other. And it works. You know, I got so tired, I got so tired of people saying to me, the problem with you, John, is, but nobody ever said, here's a solution. You lot gave me a solution. Yeah, that worked. Yeah. And you let me walk it really slowly, and you let me be as bonkers as I liked, and as, you know, unpleasant as I liked at times. And, but it works. Yeah, that is all I've got to say. What I got out of my big lane is the fact that it worked for me. And I see it working for you. It is I am grateful. Thank you.